Jump in. This will be the third day that we're going to talk about here in verse number 9. That doesn't mean that's not what the lesson's about, but verse number 9, Genesis chapter 1. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, an herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." You know, a peach has a seed within itself. You know, apples have seeds within themselves because they're fruit trees. We already know the Bible is real. We can see that. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Skip down to verse number 20. And let's just read verse number 20 through the rest of the chapter. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. So we had the third day he created, and the grass and the seeds and the fruit trees. And then the fifth day we see that he's created here. Now let's move to the sixth day, verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. You know, sometimes you talk to other Christians and they say things like, well, you know, there's no transitional species in the world. Or they'll say things like, animals change, but one species never changes into another species. That's wrong. That is not something that Christians need to be saying. Now, there's one word of that that is wrong, and we're going to talk about that, but the word is species. You know, hopefully after today's lesson, I want you to understand that's not true. Species change all the time. In reality, new species do arrive over time. That's called speciation. There's a whole science involved with that. And so I want to make sure we understand that. But on the other side of the coin, you hear secular scientists, and they say that speciation is proof that Darwinism or Darwinian evolution, if you want to say it like that, is proof of that. That because of species, Darwinian evolution is true. Now that is also false. And so what I want to look at this morning is I want us to understand that these are mistakes, both of these things. What Christians say about species never changing and what evolutionists say that that's proof of evolution, those are both errors. And all these mistakes can be eliminated when we understand the difference between kind, which is the Bible word, and species. The word species is not even in the Bible. So we need to understand what is the difference between a kind and a species. And when we understand that, when we study what the Bible says about kinds, and we explore the scientific evidence that we're going to look at pertaining to speciation, we will see that science does confirm biblical creation, and it is inconsistent with evolution. That's what we're going to see this morning. Again, I feel like I don't need science. I have faith. But it's just kind of neat when science does confirm what my faith already tells me. So I want us to get ahead. And again, this could be one of those things where you could shut down real easy. But I want us to get an understanding of what a species is and what a kind is. So what exactly is a species and how does it differ from kind? Okay, in biology, let me give you the definition of species and then I'll explain it to you. A species is a category of classification. You know, we have genus, we have family, genus, species. So species is the final lowest classification we have. But what can be a species? A species is any organism that can generally interbreed and can produce fertile offspring. Both of those things have to happen. They have to be able to typically, normally, generally interbreed, and the offspring they produce have to be fertile. So let me give you an example of what that is and what that's not. Okay, so if we find any two animals who can normally breed and produce offspring who are not sterile, those animals are the same species. The offspring must be able to reproduce for the parents to be the same species. Let me give you an example. A female horse and a male donkey can interbreed.
That's right.
They can. They do all the time. The result is a mule. But a mule is sterile. So a horse and a donkey are different species because their offspring is not sterile. Everyone's like, oh, science is so hard. Did you get that? A horse and a donkey can breed, but what they produce is sterile. A horse and a donkey are different species. Okay. Now, furthermore, again, I said that it has to be typical for them to interbreed. Let me give you an example. A wolf and a coyote in captivity, that's a zoo, can interbreed. But do they generally in the wild? No, they don't. So a wolf and a coyote are different species. So a species is anything that generally, normally, typically breeds together, and what they produce is fertile. Now you'll be surprised. There are a lot of things that can breed that produce unfertile offspring, just like the mule. And I'll let you and Google discover that yourselves. But I'm telling you, it can happen. It can, and there are things that can breed together in captivity that don't breed together in the wild. Again, you and Google can take care of that, but that's what a species is, and that's how you know it's a species. It's a simple test. You say, well, is this the same species as that? Well, do they breed together normally under normal circumstances? Yes. Well, what they produce, can it have babies? Yes, they're the same species. I mean, this is science. This is biology's freshman year all over again. Okay, so that's what a species is. Now, a kind is different than a species. A kind is a group of organisms that are biologically related, and they all share a common ancestor, and they can interbreed. So anything that can interbreed is a kind. So if a species is down here, the final level of categorizing animals, a kind is up here. A kind says, do they have common ancestors? Yes. Can they interbreed regardless of what they produce? Can they produce something? Yes, that's a kind. Okay, and we're going to talk about that, and we'll give you some more examples about that and all that. But let me just kind of give you an idea. All humans belong to the same kind because we're all related. Okay, conversely, we are not the same kind as gorillas. Do we have the same ancestors? No. Can we breed? No. Are we the same kind? No. We can't breed. So the only thing that we can breed with means that we're the same kind. Okay, so if we can't make babies with it, we're not the same kind, according to the Word of God. Because he said over and over again that he's made them after his kind. After their kind. That's what that means. The kinds are therefore distinguished by their different ancestors, which the Lord originally created. And the Bible gives us an example of some kinds that the Lord originally created. It says, after their kind. And this phrase, again, it applied to plants. It applied to trees. It applied to animals. And they can be grouped in categories based on similar properties. And the Lord's choice to create organisms according to kind is what makes our modern taxonomic system today. The fact that God can make these things similar and make these things different, we use that today, and we'll talk about that in a second. But a kind is apparently the reproductive ceiling, if you will, or the limit of any organism. So if anything can breed with anything, they're the same kind. That doesn't necessarily mean they're the same species, but it does mean they're the same kind. In other words, a descendant, and get this is why it's important, a descendant will always be the same kind as its ancestor. Always. So that means every chart you've seen where this slug crawls out of mud and turns into a bird, that turns into a dinosaur, that turns into a gorilla, that turns into a human, that is not science. That is not science, because kinds are able to reproduce, and a slug and a bird can never mate. And they don't make anything, so they can't happen. And I'll explain why that is. If you need to know why they can't mate, I'll explain that to you. Why they can't breed, but they can't breed. And so they're not the same kind. They're just not. And that's why it's important. Now, Genesis chapter 1, we just read, it lists a few kinds of organism specifically. Birds, it said. Bird, they call them fowl. Birds are a different kind from fish. And fish are a different kind than cattle. That's what the Word of God says. These groups of organisms are biologically unrelated. Okay? They're unrelated. They were originally supernatural creatures. Just think about this. God created the first types of birds. Now, do I believe the birds God created are the same looking type of birds? I'd say they're similar than what we see now. But they're not the same species of what we see now, okay? But the kinds that God made, yes, they're things that probably had two legs and flew, and hollow bones, yes. Yes, the kinds are the same. We have different species, absolutely. Just think about this. In your lifetime, how many different dog breeds have actually come on the scene? You're like cockadoo. Or whatever, the Labrador, that's a new one, right? That was a species that came into existence during your lifetime. So species happen all the time. Okay, that's not weird science. It's weird dog owners trying to make money on Craigslist. That's all that is. That ain't weird science. They're the same kind. They can breed and they produce, and some dogs can become fertile and some dogs can't. So they create different species. Okay, and we'll talk about why that's important. I want you to understand all this. I do have a reason to bore you with all this, but all people today are descended from Adam. That means we're the same kind as Adam. Humans are therefore not the same kind as any other animals. I think we understand that. But Genesis doesn't list specifically all the kinds. Genesis just says fowl, they say fish, and they say cattle, and that's all they say, because Genesis is a technical document. When I have people come to me and they say, listen, we need to write technically, give us a good example of a technical document. You know what I always say? The Bible, Old Testament, first five verses. That's technical writing. It's not poetic. It's not prose. This is an example of technical writing. This is what research papers look like. He's going to point it. He's going to say it. He's going to repeat it. He's going to make another point. He's going to say it. He's going to repeat it. There's a lot of repetition in technical writing. And that's what we see here. And so it doesn't say every kind of creature that was created. I didn't see squirrels or cats or anything like that. But I did see cattle, and I did see fowl, and I did see fish. And so that I got this question. Do lions, Tigers and domestic cats, Willow, that's my cat, she's pretty, do they belong to the same kind, or do they descend separately from supernatural created ancestors? Are they the same kind? Now, this is pretty interesting if you think about it, because the study of kinds is actually a science. It's called baraminology. Bara, B-A-R-A, is actually the Hebrew word for created, and M-I-N, mer, is kind. So the study that scientists go to school for today is called baraminology, which is created kindology. So they actually study kinds in science today. They use a lot of biblical understanding without them knowing it, but that's what baraminology is, and you can become a baraminologist, and you will understand kinds. So, but the question, are lions, tigers, and cats, are they the same kind? Well, do they share a common ancestor, and can they breed regardless of the outcome? That's the test. And the answer is yes. And studies have shown that lions, tigers, and house cats do in fact belong to the same kind. They all descended. Now get this. Everything that you see in the animal world, they all descended from just two cats that were the same kind aboard Noah's ark. Okay? Now, I want you to understand this. This is why it's important to be a Bible believer. And this is not a stretch. But it follows this, because how do we know? It follows this logic. Two organisms can interbreed only if they're the same kind. They can only interbreed. So here's what that means. Organism A and organism B, they breed and they have organism C. It doesn't matter what they are. Doesn't plants, cats, squirrels. If A and B come together, they make C. Here's what that means. A and C are the same. B and C are the same. That's called the transitive property. If A and C are the same and B and C are the same, that means A and B are the same. That's a little bit math mixed in there. But it means they're the same kind. That slugs can't turn into birds that turn into dinosaurs that turn... It just doesn't, they've got to be the same kind. They've got to be the same kind. Interbreeding studies are crucial in the field of baraminology. There's amazing interbreeding studies that go on to find out if things are related as species and kinds in the world. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. But by such tests, we know that horses, donkeys, and mules are the same kind. They are the same kind. Are they the same species? No. We just proved that because mules are not fertile, but they are the same kind. And we'll talk about why that's important in a minute, but they're different species. So if two organisms can interbreed and produce offspring, regardless, I want you to understand, regardless if it's fertile offspring or not, they're the same kind. That's what this word means. So any animal that can breed with another animal and produce something, they're the same kind. You need to know this Bible word. You need that. That's what it means. That has nothing to do with species. We'll talk about species because I want you to understand. In general, a species is not the same thing. It is not the same thing as a kind. And why is that important? We've already seen examples of a horse and a donkey. They're the same kind because they interbreed, but they're not the same species. They're different species. A horse is a different species than a donkey. I'm building up to something. Trust me. I want you to understand that. And again, studies in baraminology, they have demonstrated the domestic cat and the tiger do belong to the same kind. This is why it's important. The biblical teaching is that organisms reproduce organisms of the same kind, but not the same species. Cats always produce cats. Dogs always have produced dogs. I mean, scientists believe this. This is not a theory. This is not a hypothesis. Kinds always produce the same kind. They always have. So how do they get around with Darwinian evolution? Is they say we all started from the same kind. Well, that's not true. Because the Bible says that they made this kind, and then they made this kind, and then they made he made this kind. So we didn't all start from the same kind. The Bible tells us this kind was specifically, uniquely made, and then this kind was specifically, uniquely made, and then this kind was specifically and uniquely made. So we were not all starting from the same kind.
Amen.
And kinds only reproduce kinds. I think we understand that. So we can say based on Scripture that all organisms today are the same kind as their original supernaturally created ancestor. Your house cat is related to the original kind of cat that God created. And in fact, this is if you want more science in your life, I don't know why anyone would. If you want more science in your life, here's what you can do. Go to Wikipedia and type in lion, and then there'll be this little box, and it'll give you, you know, the family and the all that stuff. And it will tell you what it is. Then do the same thing for domestic cat. And it'll tell you what they're the same. They're the same. Because they all came from the same kind. Now I'll tell you in a minute. Because when you look at that taxonomic character, the word kind isn't there. I'll tell you which one is kind here in a second. So I want you to understand that. But it means that we will not find transitional creatures. That's what this means. There is no such thing as transitional creatures between major categories of organisms that belong to separate kinds. You've never seen one. Do you not think that if a pig and a monkey got together and could produce something that everyone would know about it? Your Facebook wall would be full of pictures of it. You know? We see humans in transition all the time. They're so courageous. But you never see a squirrel and a horse. You never see any combination of anything coming together in transition in the fossil record or at the zoo or at any of the museums from around the world. You've never seen it because it doesn't exist. Because kinds reproduce kinds. There's no transitional animal. And that's pretty much universally accepted. Like, no one sees that. Science and observations can confirm this. You can confirm this. You've never been out in the woods up in your tree stand and said, sheep deer. You never even heard a guy. Never. I mean, of all the wild stories Fred's told about the deer woods, you've never heard that one. Because it's never happened. It's never happened. Cats give rise to cats, nothing else. Dogs begot dogs, nothing else. They've always done that. It's universally accepted. It's universally observed. And if it did, we'd sure know about it. Don't think we wouldn't. We would know about it. Listen, if it happened in their house where a squirrel and a cat, do you not think someone would try to make money off that? We would know about it. They're not hiding them. But it's impossible because this was after his kind and this was after his kind. And his kind, because the Bible tells us so. And it's true. It bears record. Now, we do observe a great deal of variation within kinds, which are called species. I mean, there are some dogs that you're like, that's the same kind as that? Yeah, it's just a different species of dog. You know, many breeds exist today that did not exist when God first created dogs. I want you to understand that. When dogs came out of the ark, there weren't as many because there was only two kinds. So there weren't, and let's get this because I want this to understand this, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but I want you to understand this. There's a big difference, and I'm going to show you in the Bible when we get there. There's a big difference from two of every species being on the ark and two of every kind being on the ark. All right? Huge difference. If there's two of every kind on the ark, now we'll find out what the Bible says. That's way less than two of every species on the ark. Which people, if you talk to anyone, they're like, that's impossible. And we're like, yeah, duh, even God knew that. You're right. They're like, that's why the flood's a myth. You can't have two of every species. Yeah, I know. And we get to it, I'll show you. The Bible says, kind. You're right. We agree on something. You can. Now, so let's talk about this taxonomic tree. So there's a Swedish scientist back in the 1700s. His name was Carlos Linnaeus. And he's considered the father of modern taxonomy. And you've heard some of the stuff that he said before. But he actually recognized that God is a God of order. And he went through and he created the first Excel spreadsheets. Before there were Excel spreadsheets, he would have columns and rows of data that he would, and he put it, you could look at his old notes from the 1700s. It's fascinating. But what he started noticing in the plant world and in the animal world and in the mineral world is that there are some things that are alike and there are some things that are different. And he's the one, with some slight changes, he's the one that came up with the classification hierarchy that we use today. If you remember in school, we started with domain, kingdom, phylum, class, order, family. Is everyone familiar, at least have heard those before? So you could look at something. You look at that, and you say, domain. Well, is it a plant, an animal, or a mineral? Fake. Oh, it's fake. Plastic, that's one of the domains now. No, but that, if that was out in the woods, that would be a plant. So the domain is plant, and then you can break it down to that. And he was the one that invented all this stuff. So he would look at anything, and he says, okay, let me start broad, and then get down all the way to the nitty-gritty. So he'd look at an animal. He says, are you a plant, an animal, or a mineral? And he's like, that's an animal. And then he'd be like, okay, is it a mammal, a reptile, or amphibian, or anything? So he'd poke it with a stick, and it'd bleed, and he'd be like, okay, it's warm-blooded. So it's a mammal. Does it produce with an egg or live birth? This is all stuff you've done in school. Okay, he was the guy that created all this. So he created domain, kingdom, phylum, class, family, genus, and species. Now, nowhere in there is the word kind. But here's where it fits. It fits under family. Family and kind are synonyms. So again, if you go to Wikipedia and you look up lion, and you go to the family of lion, it's going to say filia, something in Latin that you don't understand. And that's okay. Just remember that word. Then go to house cat in Wikipedia and go to family. It's the exact same word. They're from the same family, which means they're from the same kind. Okay? This guy came up with that. And we've already seen that biblical kind is not necessarily the same thing as species. It is kind or family, genus, and species. Species is the lowest number or level of organization you can have. Now, one way, again, that critics mischaracterize things in the Bible, like Noah's Ark, is they say that it's a myth. Again, because they say the number of species. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Now think about this. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 19. Genesis chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort," new word, don't worry about it, shall thou bring unto the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female." Wow, God gives us insight on how to reproduce. Male and female. That's the only way to keep a civilization or a group of things going on, is when male and female cohabitate together. Verse 20, "Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee," and I love, "to keep them alive." Isn't that beautiful? Oh, God loves us so much. Now go to next chapter, chapter 7, verse 2. "Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, and male and female, to keep seed alive upon the face of the earth." So he's saying, listen, we want to sustain life. We need a male and a female of every kind. Scientists say that if you took all the kinds of animals that there are, not the species of animals, the kinds of animals, there'd be about 16,400 different animals on the ark. If you had species of animals, it'd be in the millions. You know, because you have two beagles and two pugs and two this and two that. It'd just be ridiculous. God doesn't want us to do ridiculous. He just wants us to do faith things. There's two of every kind. Now, so here's what that means, and this is wild. It means that when we talk about the horse things, let's consider the horse on the ark. We've already discussed there's horses, there's donkeys, there's mules, there's zebras. We haven't even talked about zebras yet. There are zebras, and those are separate species. Zebras belong to the same kind as the horse. Well, does that mean that there were two zebras on the ark and two donkeys and two mules, which wouldn't matter because mules are sterile, and two horses on the ark? No. No. The kind or the family they all belong to is equid. So there were only two on the ark. Two horse-like creatures of the same kind. And from those two, we got everything you see today. Every zebra, every donkey, every Shetland pony, and every Clydesdale. And that's a big range. And I'll talk about how we got that in just a second. But that's a big range of things. But there were only two on the ark. So how could that be? And by the way, nowadays, because I was telling you about science, there's things called zonkies. There are zonkies. You can go, everyone's, oh, the Creation Museum. Oh, so there's a zonkey at the Creation Museum. There's zorses, which is a baby that came from a zebra and a horse. Why? Because they're the same kind. They're not the same species, but they're the same kind. Okay, they all came from the same thing. This is just to get you to understand how far-fetched Darwinian evolution is. Okay? I just want you to understand that. But so why, how in the world can two equids leave the ark? There's only two of them. They leave the ark, and every zebra, every Clydesdale, every Shetland pony, every donkey that we see today can come from them, and they're so different. I'll tell you, God placed a remarkable amount of potential in variety inside DNA. We don't understand DNA fully. The best scientists in the world don't understand DNA. But when you have an offspring, that offspring gets half your DNA and half the other parent's DNA. And inside those DNA is every combination of variation there could possibly be within it. And you're like, well, that doesn't... Okay, grandma has red hair. You don't have red hair. Your baby has red hair. Just because you didn't express it doesn't mean you didn't possess it in your DNA. You passed it along. And eventually, if this is through statistics and science, but eventually you get something with a stripe in its DNA. And that thing with a stripe has another thing with a stripe. And that becomes dominant characteristics in their DNA. And then stripe, get a whole herd of zebra. And then the donkey that Mary rode in on several thousand years later, it happened because a big-eared horse and another big-eared horse with a different kind of hair mated after Noah's Ark. This does not take a far-fetched amount of faith. This does not take a far-fetched amount of, I don't know about this. It's genetics. It's DNA. And variations within DNA is called genetic drift. And it's real. And what happens is over time, I mean, think about it. We read in Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11 that for a while all the animals were together after the ark, and then they had to spread out. So there's all kinds of mating that's going on, and different DNA is working. And that's how you get everything. That's how you get everything, is because of DNA. And just because, and again, now get this. No one and nothing can add to DNA or take out of DNA. God put all the DNA necessary into the original kinds that he made. If you were to change a transitional animal, you would have to add to the DNA code. Right? And we can't even figure that out. So there's no transitional animal. There's no species change like they talk about in evolution. There's none of that. There's none of that. Again, as animals depart from the ark and multiplied, each descendant received half the genetic information from their parent. It led to the possibilities of new combinations and traits were encoded that were not expressed earlier. This is all well documented. And you could actually reproduce this stuff today. I don't know, if you got a certain kind of striped cow and another kind of cow and you want all your cows to look like this, what do you do? The Bible gives us an example of that later on in life. The Bible proves DNA and genetics later on in Genesis. And we do it too. When we're shopping for a bull for our cow farm, we're like, well, we want one. We want a Hereford. You know, or I only have Charolais. I have white cows. So I want to keep it. We do the same thing. We do that with chickens. We do that with everything. That's why I married Stephanie. I wanted strong stock. I mean, we all do it. We all do it. The kind of dog you want, the kind of cat you want. So this isn't far-fetched. It's real. It's real. And again, though, those changes are called genetic drift. And in some cases, the drift can lead to reproductive incompatibility. It can lead to different species. Again, there are species of dogs today that were never there, obviously, because there was only two kinds of dogs on the ark. And out of those two came every coyote, every wolf, every cute little puppy that we see today. Every variation of those came from those two. The point is that speciation is absolutely a thing. And it has nothing to do with the evolution in the Darwinian sense, because animals always remain the same kind. They've always remained the same kind. No new information can be added into DNA, and therefore the process could never turn one kind into another kind. It can never happen. It's never happened. You've never heard of it happening. You've never seen it happen. You know the dumb stuff that you see happen on your timeline and social media, and you're like, I never thought I'd see that happen. If it happened, you would know about it. People would be wanting to make money off of it. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Now, yes, listen. Speciation, genetic drift, natural selection, mutation. Those are all real things. And we'll talk about those in the lessons to come. Those are all real things that can be answered. Absolutely. And they all are examples of variation within a kind. But as always, science confirms creation. Now, I've said all that to say this. In the coming weeks, we're going to look more into kinds. We're going to see their uses in nature of kinds. And God gave natural ability to adapt and to mutate. And it further supports the creation story and not the evolutionist theory. None of this stuff supports evolution. They made their own kind. And as we better understand kinds and we better understand species, we will be better understand the processes that God placed in nature to be adaptable to their surroundings. We'll see that. We'll see how things that used to have hair don't have hair, and things that have hair now didn't used to have hair because of adaptation. That's not a new kind. It might be a new species, but that's perfectly all right. New species have happened in your lifetime. We're not weirded out by that. Not at all. But no new kinds. And the whole point of all this is this should drive us to better appreciate the God who loves us and the God who saved us. He gave in that DNA everything that was needed for every kind of variation that could possibly. God is so immense, so remarkable. If you hear something, you're like, that's weird. It is. It is. Slugs didn't become birds, that then became dinosaurs, that then became gorillas, that then became your mom. Didn't happen. There's no evidence. There's no evidence of it happening, ever. God is so good. Let's get ready for Big People Church.